This story is so familiar to us that sometimes we conflate it into the story of the birth. And in all those Christmas pageants when Mary and Joseph would come down and the angels would come and the shepherds would come and the wise men would come, it seemed to all happen all at once. And we'd celebrate with everybody the joy that they all felt at the gift of the King of the Jews, the gift of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But it didn't happen all at once. And I want to talk a little bit about the Magi and to think about that star. How many of you were paying attention on December 21st looking for Saturn and Jupiter, because somehow that was the star of Bethlehem? And for me, it was like, the wise men saw that same thing. That shone, that meeting of planets was over the baby, Jesus, just like it's over me today. But we don't know for sure if that's what they saw. We imagine it could have been that. That's kind of the science brain working. Or it may have been some particular star we don't know about. Or some theories are it was an angel that was so bright in the sky that she looked like a star. Or he looked like a star. Or it looked like a star. I don't know what gender angels are. Anyway, the wise men, the Magi, the king with the three kings, lived very far away. They weren't Jews. Christ was just born, so we can't say they were Christians. We don't know what they practiced, but they studied. They studied all sorts of scriptures, and they studied the sky, because somehow the sky was supposed to give a sign that the king would be born. A light in their darkness would shine and tell them that the Messiah had been born. And these men studied and studied and studied and watched and watched. And we don't know how long they waited or how long they watched, but they must have known it was coming, because if they were reading everything and they were watching the stars, they'd see it appear. And they lived quite a bit away. Some say they were in Persia. We don't know where exactly they were. But they couldn't go to the airport, get in the plane, and fly to Jerusalem. So they had to travel very far to get to this baby who wasn't part of their faith tradition, who might not even impact their lives. But they were so, so excited about this birth, so excited about the inbreaking of God into the world, that they made that journey. And who knows how many camels went with them, because there wasn't a McDonald's or a Bojangles or a Chick-fil-A along the way, so they had to carry their food. They had to carry everything with them. But they chose to do it because they, in the midst of the darkness of their world, they saw this light, and they knew what the light meant. They knew the light meant that the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, had come. So what do? When you know that, you get to that space and you're looking at the sky, but you also go to the person who should be in the know, right? So they went to Jerusalem. They went to the capital of Judea, and they met with Herod. Now, this is the part that I find really fascinating, that when they met with Herod and they told him they were looking for the child that had been born King of the Jews, we hear that Herod got frightened. And the thing about Herod in that time in Judea was Herod was one of the worst kings they ever had. He killed multiple relations so that he could remain king. And here these strangers come into his court and ask where the child was born that's to be king of the Jews. That was pretty brave. They didn't know Herod then, so they would not have known what they had just asked of a man who didn't like anything impeding his ruling. But the people of Jerusalem did. That's why the next verse is, and all Jerusalem with him were frightened. Because if Herod was frightened, people died. That's just what happened. But then when he calls those chief priests and scribes together, the scripture doesn't say that when he inquired of them when the Messiah was to be born, that they went into their library, pulled out their scrolls, and searched for it, they told him immediately in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. They knew it. They knew it, but they weren't paying attention to know that he had already been born. The insiders had less information about Jesus than the outsiders who came in looking for him. So Herod sends them on their way to go and see Jesus. But I thought about that light that shone and shown them the way to the baby in the main, well, he wasn't in the manger anymore. He was in a cradle in a home in Bethlehem. And how much we need that kind of light in our own personal darkness. And that often the light doesn't come from an insider, but an outsider. An outsider who can see Christ in the world better than we can. An outsider who doesn't have all the parameters around what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but has an idea of God's greatness and God's ability to do anything and everything. And in the midst of a pandemic, when so much of what we did as followers in church got squelched and we felt reduced and brought into some wavelengths across the air, that somehow God got small and our darkness got big. When the truth is, the light is even in the midst of darkness. And that maybe, like the wise men, we could look into the world and see bright lights in the sky. We can see lights in people's eyes. We can see God with us in the midst of the darkness. And maybe in the midst of our own personal darkness. If we just take a deep breath and look beyond the shadows, we will see God's light. When they got there, they paid homage and they gave him these gifts. And we've given meaning to the gifts that gives meaning to our faith. But the reality is they gave gifts out of what was of value to them. So they gave of themselves to this baby, to this Christ child. They said, gold is of value to me. Here, you have my gold. Frankincense is of value to our culture. Here, have this expensive herb. And myrrh is expensive in our land, and it's of value to us. Here, have this. I'm giving of myself to you, child, to you, Jesus. And that's what Jesus asks of us, to give the best of us, to give the worst of us, but to give ourselves in service to the light so that the darkness that's all around us and all around people in the world will be diminished by the light of Christ. I also imagine, remember, as we read scripture, much of it happens in our own brains and imaginations as God works through us to see the story that the scriptures tell us. But I imagine they really didn't need that warning in a dream to go the other way. I imagine when they met Herod, they were never going back to that castle. But they had the affirmation by the dream to go a different route to get home. So maybe when we look at the light that shines into our darkness, we can see a different route to get closer to Christ. How many of you have made decisions in the first of the year? You're going to pray more. You're going to do this more. You're going to serve God better. And by March or April, you haven't done half of what you promised God you would do. Maybe, just maybe this year, we could try a different route. Maybe try just one thing that God is laying on your heart that brings a little bit of light into your darkness or brings light into someone else's darkness. I know that the gift of writing letters, the gift of offering food, the gift of Serving in places God calls us to serve brings light. Times are pretty dark, and we need light. We need to be as brave, as persistent, and as studious as the wise men, and look for the signs in the world where God is, and then point to that and say, look, God is here. And when someone can't say it, say, look, this, I'll show you how God is here. Or look, God is there. Or look, God is right here. And God is right here with you. My prayer is that in 2021, we be the light in the darkness of the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.